92.9 The Game. It's that time, everybody. Sports Trap with Dwayne Walker's on the air. Greg Patman. Woo. He's doing the producing tonight. Patman, how we doing, man?
Busy yourself.
Very busy as well, man. We have a busy show coming up, man. Now, listen, when the day started off, man, I had this vision of how the show was going to go, what topics we're going to talk about, and then, bam, man, that all changed, man, a little earlier this evening, and we'll get into that, and I'll let you know why. At 11:20, we'll be talking about the Ronald Acuña Jr. situation and what had happened in the game tonight against the Miami Marlins, and at 11:40, we'll have a Braves recap. We'll actually talk about the game, you know what I'm saying? We'll tell you who did what. And then we'll close out the hour talking about the $6 million man whose investment turned out to turn in some big money. 12 o'clock hour, talk about the Falcons, kind of recap, and then look ahead to their upcoming game this Friday against the Kansas City Chiefs. And then at 12:20, man, we're going to talk about who are the top 10 youngest stars in the ATL. And I'm talking any sport. And right now, man, the city is flourishing with a bunch of potential stars, like right here underneath our noses. All right, 12:40, we'll talk to Jeff Larinovich on his on the Atlanta United FC. They'll be back in action this weekend. Plus, our Hawks, they are in a new league. They're in a new league. Can you believe it? Well, I'll explain it to you when we get to it during the 12 o'clock hour. Plus, 1 o'clock hour, I can't forget to tell you about this. Corky Kell kicks off on Thursday, tomorrow. It's going to be fantastic. Rome, Georgia, Barron's Stadium. They'll get it on Thursday. Then on Friday, they'll shift down to Georgia State. And then on Saturday, there'll be five games will be held at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So a total of 9 games in all. And going to give a little sneak preview, man. We have had an opportunity to catch up with Rush Probst, the head coach with Colquitt County. He's always so gracious when I have an opportunity to talk to him. And so we talked about some things outside of the actual game, and you won't want to miss it because, as you know, he's a very, I'm not going to say controversial coach, but let's just say he always brings something to the table that's something that you want to actually listen to, all right? Let me go ahead and give you some numbers, 404-741-0929. That's the number to get in contact with the program. We are also on social media at 929TheGame, on the internet, on Twitter at 929TheGame, as well as Instagram at 929TheGame. Me personally, I am on Twitter at DNiceRadio. Make sure you give me a holler on the Twitter, all right? The Twitter, wow. All right, let's see. So what do I want to talk about? Listen, first of all, the week went fantastic, all right? You got that, Pat? I'm hearing myself, man. What am I hearing? I'm hearing my theme music, man. Is my theme music still on underneath somewhere? Okay, I'm tripping. You got to forgive me. But listen, congratulations. I got to send the congratulations right quick. It might be a little bit belated, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. Remember last week I was telling about a young man who at the time was participating in the junior NBA World Championships, but his team, the Southeast team, actually made it to the finals, USA Finals. I'm talking about Devin Farrell, and he showed out over the weekend, man. On Saturday, he scored 36 points. 36 points. Wow. 30 in the second half. So I wanted to make sure I got that out and just congratulate the young man. He works hard in the gym, both him and his sister, Jada. Their dad, Derek, see him up at the local community center, recreation center, working those two individuals out, man. And it's such a pleasure to see that all that hard work pay off for that young man as well as that young lady. And can't wait for the party coming up this weekend, too, by the way, Jada. All right. What else, man? The big story that, I'll just go ahead and say it. If you're driving back from SunTrust right now, all right, obviously the big story is what had happened to Ronald Acuña Jr. today. I couldn't wait, man. Couldn't wait for his first at bat. I kind of shot the gun a little bit early. I go into my wife, go into the room where my wife was watching television. I'm like, babe, we got to turn the game on. So I turned the game on at 7 o'clock, right? And I'm like, yeah, we got to watch this at bat. And then she's like, well, the Braves game's not on until 7:30. So I went back to editing whatever it is I was doing. I came back a half hour later. And it was about that time, but I couldn't get on at 7:30 because my wife wanted to see what was going on in E.T. Entertainment. She wanted to find out what was going on with Aretha Franklin. Shouts out to Aretha Franklin, praying for her to get better. So we had to watch what was going on with Aretha Franklin, and then we switched over to the Braves game. So my wife and I are sitting there in anticipation of the first pitch, bottom half, to see what Ronald Acuña Jr. was going to do. And then all of a sudden, you hear this baseball connecting with elbow, baseball connecting with bone. And my mouth, my wife's mouth opened. She was like, and for a brief moment, air was taken out of the room because you didn't know how injured he was once he got hit. And when you look at the replays of what happened, you could see the people in the stands. They were like, their mouths open because you really couldn't believe what happened. And all I will say, not all, I'm going to say plenty about it. All that I can say is that what a BS move. What a BS move by Mr. Jose. I'm not sure where that directive came from, like who decided, okay, this guy's young man's gone yard against us, all right, three games in a row, so we're gonna kerplunk him. I don't understand where that comes from. And I've heard baseball purists, I heard some of the audio that was played on the stadium earlier at the radio station earlier about, oh, how you gotta hit him. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't have to hit him. Because the bottom line is people can get hurt out here. So let me guess, what happens if Ronald Acuña Jr.'s elbow is broken? All right, there's a bone fracture. I'm not saying it is, but I'm not giving you a medical report. I don't know what his status is, but I'm giving you an example. Let's just say his wrist is broken, and let's just say he's done for the year. So if you're a Miami Marlins fan or you're a Miami Marlins player, you feel good about that? Like you can say, oh yeah, we stopped that history in the making thing. Like, you feel good about that? That's just Bush. It's just Bush League. Sports Radio 92.9 game. It's 10 minutes after the hour of 11. And listen, first 15 minutes of the program, I use it as therapy, man, get some stuff off my chest. And I got to tell you, what had happened to Ronald Acuña Jr., it affected me from the standpoint, man. How many of us that were watching the game at home, because I wasn't actually at SunTrust, I was near SunTrust earlier today at the Corky Kell Classic Luncheon, which was held at the Marriott, by the way. Queso was on point, too, by the way. But anyway, how many of us that were watching the game, you're watching the game, right, in full anticipation of his first at-bat, and then once he got hit, you're like, oh, man. And then all of a sudden you got, like, kind of angry. You know what I'm saying? And how many of us got super duper fired up as I did when you see manager Brian Snitker go out there where he's basically like leading the charge out there to try to get some get back, like trying to get in cats' faces. And for whatever reason, the umpiring crew did not throw their pitcher out immediately, which I don't get. I don't get why they didn't immediately toss. As soon as Acuña Jr. got hit, they should have tossed him. Never did that. So in my mind, that sort of built up the controversy. So when you see Braves manager Brian Snitker go out there and he is heated, he is hot, he's yelling. I'm not sure. I couldn't catch any expletives. I was trying to catch some expletives, but I couldn't make out the words. But I can tell he was hot. And I was hot right there with him. Like, I like got emotionally charged up. And I think it actually affected, no, not I think, I know that affected guys that are on the ball club because of how they reacted, right? And did you see how Eric Young acted, the Braves coach? He wanted to get at somebody. Now, of course, how do you pronounce the young man's his last name? I don't want to butcher his name. I'll look it up and I'll do my best to say it phonetically. And I actually watched the game, but I just go by Jose. Jose was tripping, and he's actually on the air now trying to explain it. I don't have the audio up, but I can see where the Marlins pitcher who hit Ronald Acuna Jr., is trying to explain away what happened. There's no explaining away. I mean, the truth of the matter is that Ronald Acuna Jr. has been on a torrid hot streak, making all types of major league history as a young 20-year-old budding superstar. And you decided that you wanted to put an end to it and that he wasn't going to do it on your dime. And I get it. I understand baseball. You know, you want to intimidate the guy. You want to throw hard heat inside, but you can't hit him. And the fact that you hit him in the back and where you hit him in the back tells everybody that you did it intentionally. And that's not a good thing, man. You shouldn't be trying to hit people intentionally in this type of circumstance because, I mean, let's be honest, man. People can potentially get, seriously injured. Get killed by a baseball getting hit in the head. I mean, it rarely happens, but it can happen. And nobody wants to live with that. I mean, it's a sport. But at the same time, let me just say this. There is so much stuff going on in our country now, and I'm just talking about America, that, where's the line? Like, where does tradition and present-day culture, like, cross the line? I mean, you've got some of our top officials out here calling women dogs. You've got, I mean, I could go on, but I feel as though sometimes in this society and in the world that we live in today, there's just absolutely no moral compass. In the most violent sport in the world, that owners are trying to get safe, and I get it, I'm talking about professional football, you have guys who actually risk themselves more injury, in my opinion, in playing the game of football, trying to decide on the fly how they should hit a guy. Now, I'm not wishing anything bad on the National Football League, but if you got guys that are out there playing football, trying to think their way around the football field, trying to think, how can I angle my body or angle my head not to get a penalty, where you are not willing to accept the blow that's coming your way or to give out a blow that's heading your way, you're setting your own self up, in my opinion, for getting hurt. You know what I'm saying? Let me try to give you a simple example. Let's see. I'll use a basketball term. You ever play basketball down on the post and you got an offensive player that's really, really aggressive? And you're the defensive player. And the offensive player always likes to lean on you and feel you because that's what he gets off on and trying to make his next move. But what happens if you're the defensive player and as opposed to applying that pressure and giving him that leverage, you just step out of the way and you let the guy fall, the offensive player fall. See, the offensive player is not anticipating that. That offensive player could get hurt. So what I'm saying is, man, there's just such a fine line that's being crossed right now. And to me, everything is just mixed and mashed up, man. It's mixed. In hockey, it's okay to fight. It's okay. What's your penalty? You get a 5-minute major. It's an acceptable part of the sport. You get in professional baseball. One guy beans you, you're able to bean him back. I don't get it, man. So I ask the question, man, where does tradition and present-day culture cross the line? I'll try to answer that next. You're listening to Sports Rap with Dwayne Walker on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Very first pitch. Chad Fairchild right out in front of the plate. Acuna tosses the helmet down and now in a crouch on the third base line. The very first pitch of the game nails Ronald Acuna Jr. And now the Braves are coming out of their dugout looking at Urania. Benches are
going to
empty.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thanks a lot there. Wow. Chip Carey. Fox Sports South. Braves ended up winning the game. So sweep the Marlins right up out of here. But obviously the bigger story, 20-year-old Ronald Acuna Jr. being on the very first pitch of the game by Marlins pitcher Jose Urania. And I know a lot of people were upset about it. I know I was upset about it. And then you have on the other side, you have some people that weren't upset about it from the standpoint that that's that's a pliable measure in the sport of baseball. Which, I mean, look, I'm an old school head. You know what I'm saying? There's some traditions you'd like to hold on, being from the old school, but in today's society, man, everything is just twisted out of sorts. And so I ask the question, man, I say, where does tradition and present-day culture, like, where does it cross the line? Just consider this right quick. And by the way, you're listening to Sports Rap with Dwayne Walker. Welcome back to the program. Greg Patton is producing tonight's program. Pat, I appreciate it, man. I like your pea hat, too, by the way. But where does tradition and present-day culture cross the line? All right? So if you're coming back from the stadium, you're there, you're anticipating, you want to see that first at-bat, right? Like a lot of us were. Me and my wife, we were watching the first pitch that the Braves received, you know, when Ronald Acuña Jr. was at bat. Not even expecting what had happened, not expecting him to get beamed the way he did. But just the mere fact that some people think that that's a plausible way of handling a situation where a guy's on a streak, a hot streak, that you gotta, you know, you hit him. So let me get this straight. Baseball is a sport where you can go tit for tat, all right? You bean me, I'll bean you. You beat me, I'll bean you. You beat me, I can't beat you, so I'll just bean you. You see what I'm getting at? It's like, if you're not good enough to compete, don't take your medicine. I mean, I understand you want to brush the guy off the plate, you want to move him back, you want to, you know, discourage him from hitting the baseball. Yeah, yada, yada. But if you physically assault someone with a baseball, and that's what it is, and you're doing it intentionally, yeah, I mean, you could say you didn't try to do it. Yeah, I get it. But you can't deny that you weren't trying to throw the ball inside. And if you throw the ball inside, you risk a guy getting hit. And you know the temperament of the situation. You know the history of what's going on. Come on, Jose. You're 3-12. You obviously don't think you can beat the guy. Now, first of all, if I'm pitching, even if a guy's on a hot streak, my manhood wouldn't even allow me to, like, try to whittle out of the situation. I'd still try to go mano for mano against the guy. He's 20. Yeah, he's on a hot streak, but if you have any ounce of competitiveness, pride, and you're a starting pitcher, you're gonna try to strike this guy out. You know what I'm saying? With your best stuff. You're not gonna hit him. That's like a punk move. That's a punk move. But I can see where a lot of people, baseball fans, football fans, hockey fans, just fans in general, are confused. Because in a society, and you just take the four sports, for example, all right, and some of the inherent violence that comes with them, and then the different penalties that go along with it, all right? We saw what happened in baseball today with Ronald Acuña Jr., where Fairchild, the umpire, and that whole umpiring crew, they didn't even immediately throw Jose Arena out of the game. When that, to me, that should have been like automatic, like you're out. Like as soon as he got hit, he should have been tossed. But no, you're milking it, you're waiting around, and you're having a discussion, and you're letting Don Mattingly, the other manager, give his two cents. And, dude, throw him out. What are you waiting for?
You know exactly why, because we have to have everything go the replay now in baseball and every other sport.
No, it doesn't. No. See, that situation doesn't. Listen, man. Listen. Hold on. Let me just say this from a umpire / referee / officials standpoint. You know coming into a game what the narratives are, what the hot narratives are. Do you follow what I'm saying? You don't think the umpire crew knows that Ronald Acuña Jr. has been on a streak, a torrid streak? You don't think that these umpires, and if they're good umpires, they should have known already that this potentially would happen. Like, their mindset should have been, hey, look, this guy's hot. Pitcher could hit him. And if the pitcher hits him, this is how we're going to react as a crew. That should have already been discussed. You know what I'm saying? Not this, oh, we're going to gather around and we're going to talk about it and we're going to entertain both managers. We're going to have the training crew come out and build this thing. No, you nip it right in the bud. Like, as soon as he got hit, the referee should have tossed. You see, when he finally tossed him, he makes it be like this grand stage thing where he goes and he points at the player and he tosses him out and then he points on both sides of both clubhouses. You guys get a warning. You guys get a – no, nah, man, listen, dude, you've already missed it. You've already missed the boat. You've already missed it.
You miss baseball because that's not how baseball is anymore.
Well, dude, like I said, man, I can see where people can be confused. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, it's 11:30 here on the flagship station of our Atlanta Falcons, our Atlanta Hawks, Atlanta United FC, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. But just check out all the different sports, man. In baseball, it's okay to go tit for tat. You being my guy, I being your guy, right? You take hockey. Two guys, if they want to go at it, you got a beef, you got a problem, you guys just flail it out. And the referee, for the most part, he'll let you fight, let you tire yourself out. But you can physically assault some other guy. And you know what your penalties for that? You get 5 minutes. Right? Right? In pro football, what we're going through now with these guys trying to, and I understand it, you're trying to make the game safer. I get it. But at the same time, in your attempt to make the game safer, in my opinion, you are going to ultimately make it worse because football is a violent sport. And if you have two people that are about to connect, that are about to come together violently, right? When you weaken your stance, right, when you're about to take a blow, when you weaken your stance because you're trying to think about how I can hit this guy or how I'm supposed to hit this guy, you're going to take the brunt of that punishment. And therefore, you're subjecting yourself to, this is my opinion now, that's why they say, man, play hard or don't play. You follow what I'm saying? Because if you go out half behinding, you are subjecting yourself to injury. And I think that's ultimately, and I'm not trying to wish anything bad on anybody, but that's the way I see some of this stuff playing out. Wasn't there a big play last year? It might have been, was it last year? With this? And forgive my cloudiness. I'm getting old. Was there not a play in the National Football League last year where a guy went to go hit another guy, went out to catch a pass, and the guy kind of pulled up and didn't really go at the guy and hit the guy, and then the guy ends up scoring a touchdown? What game was that? You know what I'm talking about? It was like one of those miracle games. You know, some of y'all out there know what I'm talking about. Y'all got to forgive me, man. Old age creeps up to you, and specifics kind of escape you. But I know some of you out there know what I'm talking about.
Did you see Al Riveron today?
Did I see who?
Al Riveron.
No, I didn't.
He was trying to justify the helmet rule by a walkthrough video that was sent to NFL teams, and it was so bad that now more people are even questioning what is the call on the field for the helmet rule, in addition to the fact he had to put out a second version of that video after the fact,
right,
where he had to put closed captioning so that they could hear the audio properly of what he was saying.
Listen, man, I'm going to give you a quick example. All right, I'm gonna give you here's a quick example, and maybe you can find this parallel, maybe you won't. All right, I was recently in Indiana, all right, and I rented a car, and apparently, I don't remember, but apparently there was some type of bridge, and they have these. I guess they have. Have you ever heard of a tollless? Have you ever heard of a toll boothless bridge? Like a toll, like a toll that's there, that's not really there, but you might pass it and not know it, and there could be you could be charged with it. It's like, if you're driving, how are you supposed to know that you're supposed to pay a toll where there's not a toll booth to pay? I know that I might be confusing some people. That's my own personal issue that I'm going through right now, but. But some of this stuff out here, man, the bottom line, the rules that they try to do to change the game just don't make sense. And then you end up penalizing a guy. You penalize a guy on defense, and 90% of it is going to come from the defensive side of the football because the defensive side is viewed as the aggressor. You follow what I'm saying? Because you're trying to tackle a guy on offense. But 9 times out of 10, the guy that's going to get kicked out is going to be the defensive guy because he has to make a split-second decision on how I'm going to turn my head to make contact with this guy. And it's all dependent on how the offensive player moves. There is no way in H-E double hockey stick a human being can make that split-second reaction like that to determine how you're going to hit somebody. And if you do too much thinking about it, you're going to end up hurting yourself, in my opinion. 404-741-0929 if you'd like to get in contact with the program here. We're the flagship station of our Atlanta Falcons, our Atlanta Hawks, Atlanta United FC. We are Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And believe it or not, you know, not to outshadow what actually went on in the game, but there was an actual baseball game that commenced because Ronald Acuña Jr. Tried to give it a go. He tried to get on the base pass. He actually ran the base pass and went out to his outfield position. And then during warmups, decided ultimately he could not go. So when we come back, I'm going to actually tell you what happened in the game, a Braves recap next. And I got to tell you, man, the Braves have a real shot going down the stretch. You are listening to Sports Chat with Dwayne Walker on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
And a pitch is cut on and missed, and that's your ball game. A.J. Minter strikes out a pair in the ninth inning, and the Braves come back and avenge the injury to Ronald Acuña, winning 5-2.
Thanks a lot, Chip Carey. Sports Radio 92.9 again. Welcome back to the program. Sports Wrap with Dwayne Walker, 11:44, little 50 Cent. 50 Cent in the background. Great Padman who is staring at the monitor in the producer's booth. I guess he's reviewing what had happened in the Atlanta Braves game in which Ronald Acuña Jr., the 20-year-old phenom, got beaned by a pitch. Jose Arenas, starting pitcher, he pitched one pitch, and he was tossed. Well, eventually he was tossed. Braves end up winning the game 5-2, as you heard. The Phillies, however, won today 7-3 over the Boston Red Sox. So the Atlanta Braves, they still are in first place, 2 games ahead of the pack in the NL East. And I got to tell you, seeing how Braves manager Brian Snicker reacted to his ball player, Ronald Acuña Jr. getting hit was very, 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 very inspirational. You don't really see Brian Snicker upset, mad, hot. He was heated. I've never, ever seen him that animated. He was pointing his fingers at the opposition, at their players, at the umpires. He was heated, and I think rightly so. And I'm going to tell you, Brian Snicker scored a lot of points amongst not only Atlanta Braves fans, but right there in that clubhouse. To see him step up the way he did and really lead the charge, if you ask me, he wanted Jose Arenas like tossed immediately. And when that didn't happen, he just was irate and let his emotion play, let his emotion show. And I don't even think he should have gotten tossed out. Why did he get tossed out? Why did they toss Brian Snicker? What did he do?
He intentionally got right in the umpires, and he started because he didn't get what he wanted out of the discussion because his players came out. So him going back out there is what got the benches to empty. Now, the key to the whole thing, now I'm going to give you some ammo for the he was throwing at him intentionally. This is directly from ESPN Stats and Info.
Oh, wow. You're going to cover this with some statistics?
I'm telling you, this is a very interesting stat.
All right, man. Go ahead, give it
to me. The pitch that hit Acuña was 97.5 miles an hour. Why does that matter? He threw it 97, okay?
Because it's the hardest pitch he's thrown this year.
Out of 2,125 pitches he has thrown this year, that is in the 99th percentile of pitches he's thrown.
Right.
That was the fastest pitch he's thrown all year to open a game.
Okay.
Now, you criticizing the umpires, on the other hand, they got it right. Because if they do not get together and meet, they cannot issue warnings. So what they did in that meeting is they said, okay, if we leave this guy in, this is going to continue because the Braves will start throwing at their hitters if we keep him in.
No.
So they had to go to the warning to eject him, and that's what they did.
That umpire didn't have to get together.
Umpires.
Listen. Those umpires did not have to get together at that moment to decide what they were going to do. That is something that's discussed in your pre-umpire meeting. You don't think those guys have meetings before?
Welcome to baseball in the 21st century reviewed, Dwayne.
Listen, man, they have meetings before the game. I'm sure they have meetings after the game. I'm sure they have to file reports after the game to whoever the head of umpires. I'm sure after each game, these guys are being paid handsomely. It's a job for them. I'm sure after each game, they have to submit some type of report of what happened, and it could be on every call that they made during the course of a game. But here's my point. Any umpiring crew worth their salt, they already know and should anticipate that type of thing happening. I mean, it's not like they don't know Ronald Acuña Jr. is making history right now. And that it's not like they don't know that he's on a streak. So you can't – dude, it was done intentionally. It's the culture of baseball. That's how they do it. All right, let's take a phone call. Let's go out to Southwest Atlanta. Bobby, how you doing, man? You're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Pretty good. You know, all umpires in baseball have been evaluated game by game, pitch by pitch for years.
Come on, man.
That is not something new. You know, that's just the way it is. And generally speaking, they take care of it on the field, but now, like anything else, people get what is socially acceptable, what is PC has changed over the years, and that's why you're getting this. It's the same thing as you're talking about the concussion, the hitting on the NFL. The reality is this, the sport is played by big, fast, strong, powerful men that are taught to be violent, to have a certain amount of aggression and ferocity when they're on the field. But what's happening now is the link to CTE, all the other stuff that the NFL didn't come forth with, and now what all sides are trying to do are protect themselves monetarily.
Listen,
and
man.
That's the bottom line. And here's the thing. There are no winners. You can't change the rules enough to make it safer. That's why they're going to, every single year, you're going to see some kind of adjustment to hitting. How do you change that?
You don't. Bobby, thanks a lot. Hey, we got some news to break in with. What do you got over there?
Grant McCauley's reporting that the Braves have announced just 2 minutes ago that X-rays on Acuña's left elbow were negative. Results from his CT scan will be announced on Thursday.
All right, so there you have it. X-rays show nothing, right? No breaks. All right, no breaks. That's a good initial sign, right? But he'll also undergo a CAT scan, so shouts out to Grant McCauley for breaking that on his social media. You know, folks follow Grant McCauley. Oh, yeah, no doubt about that. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yeah, just sitting here chopping it up about the Braves. Braves, incidentally, they did win the game by a score of 5-2 over the Miami Marlins to sweep them right up out of here. And I don't know, man. I'm not blaming the umpires for what happened because obviously Jose Urena is the one that threw the pitch. But I am critical of how they reacted and how they didn't just like nip that in the bud, man. Like, You exacerbated the problem by not handling it initially, by not throwing them out immediately. And that's the bottom line. It's like, I'm going to tell you, man, there have been probably, there's been a couple occasions in the last, probably the last 2 weeks that have had me glued to the television. And tonight was one of them. And then I can recall a couple weeks back, same day that the Falcons had that open practice, we kind of slipped out after the open practice at the Mercedes-Benz and went to this bar around the corner. And I found myself watching the Braves game, and Sean Newcomb had a no-hitter going on. And you know, this is just my opinion now. Before Sean Newcomb's no-no got broken up, the prior pitch before that, before the hit, was a strike. Like, you know what I'm saying? It was like a strike. Like, he should have been punched. Like, it's like game management, the way the game was going, anything close to a strike, you punch that guy out, right? You punch him. Did the umpire do that? No. I thought it was a strike. He doesn't call a strike. Very next pitch, no-no's broken up. And I'm like, ain't this about a you-know-what? But if the umpire does the right thing, you talk about what on earth on Wednesday night, Patman, did those umpires have to look at after the guy gets beaned, after Ronald Acuña Jr. gets beaned on the elbow? You hear the pop, you hear the snap. I mean, what else needs to be said, man? I mean, there's nothing else that needs to be said. Toss him out of here.
This is all coming from one perspective. I'm looking right now at other perspectives. There are a lot of really important baseball people who are saying that he should be suspended for the season. It's that obvious. And that Mattingly should be suspended for a week to show that it's ridiculous that the less gifted are hurting the gifted in baseball.
Dude's 3-12, man. 3-12.
And the other problem is this. There's also the other side that shows Acuña walking toward the Marlins bench that we're not seeing on the TV broadcast, where he's basically going over after he gets hit, and this is instigation. So we've got both sides, as usual.
Well, hold on a second, man, but I'll say it again, and we'll take a phone call now. We got Chris from Douglasville. Oh, I'm sorry. I've been told that we're not. Forgive me. I apologize. Wow. The producer, Greg, you know what Greg Patton just did to me? He Tannehill'd me. He just Tannehill'd me. He told me to get I'm the host of the show, and he said, get the hell on. We're not taking a phone call. But he got his point in. I wasn't able to get my point in, but you were able to get your point in, and now we got to go to break. And I'm not even the $6 million man. But I will tell you when we come back, who's not only the $6 million man, he's the $200 million man. I'll tell you who that is next. You're listening to Sports Chat with Dwayne Walker on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Man, you got the breaking news and you got the last word. I got nothing. See what I mean?